Hello. Now then, I'd like you to listen to a couple of sounds.
He was a complete creation of his own making.
I was the very, very first in the whole world.
I've got plenty of other people. I've got four sisters and two brothers. They've all got plenty of kids. I've got plenty of kids on Jim Will Fix It. So my kids, to me anyway, the best sorts of kids, is they all go home to their parents.
To do things for him, he wants me to fondle him. He asked me for oral sex.
We gave him every instrument that he needed in Broughton to prey on some extremely damaged individuals.
Sir James Savile, OBE, the man who has single-handedly raised more than £30 million for charity.
Why have you said in interviews that you don't have emotions?
Because it's easier. The truth is, I'm very good at masking them.
I'm a rare breed insofar as I'm a single fella, and which is why when people say, them five places you've got to live in, aren't they expensive? And I say, not as expensive as a wife.
Now, the Metropolitan Police say that it will now take the lead in investigating sex abuse allegations against the late Sir Jimmy Savile as more women come forward claiming to have been assaulted by the television presenter.
Who's your best pal, Tony?
Oh, no, Desmond.
He's not.
He is.
No, he's not.
Yeah, that's me.
Because he's a married man.
Okay.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Well, no.
I'm just squashing.
Not until you say me.
Now, me, when I stand in front of the table and St. Peter's there, he says, you are not coming in. And I'll say, well, why not? And he'll say, because you're a villain. And he'll show me the debit side. And I'll say, hang about. And I'll show him the credit side. And he'll say, does that mean anything? And if he says, that means nothing, then I'll threaten to break his fingers.
What does she do with the cable, boys?
And I didn't want to. And he promised me that if I gave him oral sex, that he would arrange for me and my friends to go to Television Central and be on his television show.
Hey, hey, hey! We've got it all happening tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody's around. We're going to start with our guests.
Hope it's been a very good week for you. And here's a very good set of fix-it for you. Here we go now with a letter from Leeds. Yeah, Leeds.
Me?
So, I promise.
I promise.
That you... Jimmy Savile.
Jimmy Savile.
Are the only one.
Are the only one.
In my life.
I was 14. Of course I wanted to go to Television Centre. I didn't want to give him more facts. I thought it was disgusting, but I did that. Gary Glitter was one example. He was particularly horrible and only interested in getting as much sex as he could possibly get from any girl.
I'd start with manipulative, then controlling, and very, very clever.
It has become a great British institution. Not bad for just another zany DJ, but there's a lot more to cigar-smoking Jimmy than meets the eye.
I can remember seeing him having sex with one of the girls from Duncroft in Jimmy Savile's dressing room.
I was the very, very first in the whole world to run a dance to record.
You used to be a wrestler, didn't you?
I still am.
Are you?
I'm feared in every girls' school in this country.
Hello and welcome to the Deathcast. I am your host, best-selling author Ian Totten. I'd like to thank you as we prepare to take our seventh look at the life and crimes of Jimmy Savile. Before we get going, of course, I have the normal plugs. If you'd like to follow me on social media, that'd be Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Just search for Ian Totten, author, or search for The Deathcast. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can find me on Corpse Creek. If you'd like to join the show's mailing list, go to corpsecreekpublishing.com. Click on the sign up button. While you're there, please consider making a donation. Buy me a cup of coffee. There is a donate button there. If you would like to help support the show and the production of the show and also see higher production values on the show, please consider going to tinyurl.com/DCPatreon. That's the official Patreon for the show. There are two tiers right now. $2 tier and a $5 tier. each come with exclusive perks, and as soon as we start getting some Patreon members, I will start putting up some Patreon-only episodes. Very quickly, I'd like to give a shout-out and a thank you to Caitlin098 from Great Britain for the 5-star review. It says, very thorough. The Jimmy Savile podcast was very interesting. These podcasts are very engaging for me, and I hope he never stops making them. Thank you very much, Caitlin, and for the 5 or 6 of you who've left less than stellar reviews because you don't like the way that I pronounce Jimmy's last name, blow me. There is no E at the beginning of his name. It's Savile. That's how it's fucking spelled. That's how I'm gonna pronounce it. If you don't like it, go listen to something else. Don't throw a freaking hissy fit because I pronounce the name differently than you. The last name pronunciation is not the most important thing regarding this case. The information I'm putting out in conjunction with it is. And if you can't get beyond that little friggin' hang-up, you need to find something better to do with your time. Because I will call all you motherfuckers out by name. Because unlike you, I have a worldwide platform to friggin' put your names out there. You've got a keyboard to hide behind. Now that that bit of venomousness is out of the way, get yourself something to drink, find a nice comfy chair, sit back, relax, I've got my coffee, I've got my cigarettes, let's go into the crypt. When we left off last week, we were in the middle of 1970, and the 15-year-old girl who had been dancing on top of the Pops, Claire McAlpine, had just committed suicide, and Jimmy Savile was making the rounds to all the media in an effort to not only, you know, remove some of the black eye that the Top of the Pops and the BBC had been giving, but also, in my opinion at least, in an attempt to try and quiet down any of the rumors that might have come up about him regarding the death of Claire McAlpine. My contention then, as it is now, is that what happened to Claire McAlpine was systemic in nature. You have a, for the most part, group of young, virile young men putting out music, coupled with young women who want to be seen with and be a part of those musicians' lives. And because of that, you got a lot of this type of stuff going on where the musicians are taking advantage of these young girls who, for the most part, should probably have been staying home and not being allowed to go out and be around these men. When I say it's systemic in nature, the people who are presenting this and all the other various hanger-ons are going to use those positions that they are in to get what they want from these young women, just as the musicians are going to use their positions to get what they want from these young women. And in that regard, both the BBC and the music industry as a whole really kind of condone this type of, you know, actions. Especially back then, it's not like it is now where it was frowned upon. People really turned a blind eye or chuckled to themselves in regards to this. A good example is, I believe, Jimmy Page. I forget the young woman's name, but I know she was 15 or 16 years old. She was basically a groupie, and he basically kept her, you know, under lock and key for a period of time so that he could do whatever debaucherous things he wanted with her. This wasn't something that was hidden, even though a few years ago they made a big stink about it in the media. This was known to pretty much anybody who followed their music or read magazines like Rolling Stone. But again, back in the 60s and 70s, things of that nature were looked at very differently than they are now. Now, if a musician were to be seen with a 16-year-old who is basically, you know, his slave, people would be up in arms and taking to social media in an attempt to both cancel them as well as get the authorities involved. And a good example of that would be R. Kelly. For years, there were rumors going around regarding him and underage girls, and it finally took the whole Me Too movement and wokeness to get people to pay attention to what was being said about him as well as what he was doing, and now he's sitting in a jail cell. Back to the topic at hand, however, with Claire McAlpine, there was some fallout. As we discussed last week, the BBC launched an investigation, which they are famous for doing anytime they get egg on their face. You know, an internal investigation coming out and stating that they had put in new procedures to make certain that the individuals who got into the show were of legal age. We also had the house photographer for Top of the Pops, who was pretty much outed as a pervert for his picture taking and movie making with the young women who came around Top of the Pops. And although his work is still lauded to this day, for the most part, Henry Goodwin was done at Top of the Pops following the revelations of not only what he was doing, but what was said to be going on at the studio. Real quick aside, I just listened back to some of this. Apparently something was going on with my microphone. There was a little bit of a tinny sound to my voice, so I think I have corrected it, and if not, I apologize, but I am aware of it. After the Claire McAlpine suicide, Seville really threw himself headfirst into the charity work that he was participating in, and some have speculated that he did this in an effort to assuage any doubts that people might have had regarding his possible involvement in the sexual exploitation that took part involving her as well as other young women at the BBC. In conjunction with this, he also really upped the ante in terms of putting his religious beliefs out there through his various means, such as his newspaper articles, television interviews, and the shows that he was on. All of this, again, was an effort to try and get people to stop looking at him so funny, and obviously it had the desired effect, because as 1970 continued to roll on and rolled into 1971, Seville was being touted as the quote-unquote the spearhead of the BBC's Christian attack. And again, a lot of this information is information that anybody can get. I am using Seville's book As It Happens, as well as In Plain Sight by Dan Davies, as my main references, although I am using various reports that were prepared after his death. Because of Jimmy's association with Christianity, he was invited to join Lord Longford's 52-member strong commission on inquiry into pornography, which in it of itself was really triggered by Mary Whitehouse's campaign to clean up the British media. For those not aware, especially individuals such as myself who are American, Britain has almost always had nudity on their television programs in some form or fashion, usually showing women's breasts, something that in America would land you in deep with the FCC. Britain does not and did not have any problem with showing that type of thing. But just as in America, where we have these moral crusaders who are worried about what the effects of this type of imagery is going to do to the average viewer, let alone the children, Britain had people who wanted to see this type of thing abolished. For those interested in what came of Lord Langford's commission, basically he came out and stated that he was calling for a ban on obscene publications, theater, cinema, and broadcasting. So Lord Lankford, whose real name was Frank Peckenham, he gets this commission together that's made up of clergymen, lawyers, judges, as well as Jimmy Savile. And they put out this report, which was really based on their religious convictions, i.e. Catholicism. Whether or not anything really came of this, I am unsure. I didn't dig too deeply into this aspect beyond finding out that Jimmy was on this commission. But it was another brick that Jimmy could put into the wall of invulnerability that he was putting up around himself. And this, as well as his many charity works, and how recognizable an individual he was, led the BBC to give him a number of specials throughout 1971. And this really is important because of all of this stuff. When 1972 rolled around, Jimmy Savile found himself named in the Queen's New Year's Honors List. Basically, as I understand it, the Queen's New Year's Honors List is individuals who have gone above and beyond for both the British government as well as the British people. Jimmy was given an Order of the British Empire, which is not a knighthood, but still carries with it a great deal of distinction. You see it a lot with celebrities from Britain, you know, Sir So-and-So, OBE. The OBE is the Order of the British Empire. And it's one of those things that once it's attached to your name, it opens a lot of doors for you, but it also stops so many prying eyes from looking into your personal affairs, because people see that, particularly in the media, and they know that really this isn't somebody I want to mess with. It's a powerful individual who more likely than not has powerful friends. So now Savile is really moving into and upwards inside of the establishment, all the while still projecting the same humble air that he had been projecting since he came to national prominence. Savile stated that when he received the letter from Prime Minister Harold Wilson, he was beyond excited. In fact, he received a letter apparently late at night, and he was overjoyed, so he called his brother before heading over to Leeds General Infirmary, where he learned that a woman had just died. He stated, quote-unquote, an old lady of 80, so I'm pushing her from the ward to the fridge, and it brought everything back to square one. These kind of statements were really the way that Jimmy maintained his everyman appeal and was able to connect with the general public at large. He did all this while openly boasting to everyone who would listen that he had lord, ladies, earls, ministers, cardinals, and branches of the royal family as both friends, acquaintances, and business associates. So if you see what he's doing there, he's letting you know, hey, I'm just like all of you. I've just been given a very blessed life, and I've been able to raise myself up for nothing. While at the same time letting you know, I'm friends with all these really powerful people over here, so you better keep your nose clean in regards to the things that I am doing. After this, Jimmy was commissioned to write a number of newspaper articles on himself, chronicling his life from the very beginning all the way up until where he was at this point in time. He used this as an opportunity to really hammer home and reinforce the mythology he had been building around himself from the very start. That includes being the miracle baby who was saved by the intercession of a dead saint, to nearly dying in the mines and putting his mind to it that he was not going to be a cripple for the rest of his life, etc., etc. This stuff was really hammered home into the collective mind of the British people. At the same period of time, he was still continuing on with his exploits involving young girls and women. One story that has emerged since Seville's death is that he'd had a driver for his motor caravan, and whenever Seville wanted to be left alone with a young woman, he would tell this individual that he needed to go for a walk or go to a movie, and this man had no qualms with doing as he had been instructed. This driver further went on to state that Seville had girls waiting on him wherever it was that he went. This goes to further illustrate what I have been saying for the last few episodes. Seville didn't have to go out and go searching for willing victims. They came to him. He was really a Pied Piper in that regard. He's a very famous individual. He is rich. He knows a lot of rich, famous individuals, particularly in the music industry. These girls equate him with these rock stars and want to be with him. Again, that's not to excuse what Seville was doing. It's just simply to illustrate that he didn't have to go out and abuse women or pull them into his caravan so that he could rape them on the side of the road. A lot of those stories, my personal opinion at least, are bullshit, and were really created by individuals who were hoping to jump on the Seville bandwagon once he had passed away, and they saw all these other individuals with honest-to-God stories of how he had taken advantage of them coming forward. In one of the articles, Seville wrote about his life after being given an OBE. He stated that, quote unquote, about 1,000 arms and legs pinned me to the bed. It looked like a cross between a double X sex film and multi-legged octopus. In his autobiography, Jimmy talked about how panic ensued the next morning when knocking was heard on the caravan door. Quote, escape was utmost in my mind. The reason for this being was one of the girls who was naked looked out the window of the caravan and saw her parents standing there. Seville further went on to state that he had gotten dressed quickly while the other girls did the same, before bluffing his way past the parents, who believed what he had told them, after which the parents took their daughter and went home. The stories of this type of thing happening with Seville and his narrow escapes from parents or other family members are rife, and you can find a lot of them in As It Happens, as well as in the various reports that were put out concerning his actions. This really paints a much different picture than what has been put out there by both the media as well as the British government. They like to act as though they had no idea what type of things Jimmy was getting up to throughout the years. However, it's right there in black and white. Although he never gave ages for the women that he was with, he was pretty open and raunchy in regards to letting anybody who wanted to know just what it was that he was getting involved with. And that's a very important part, because the narrative has always been, since he died in 2011, that Jimmy was a serial pedophile who did everything that he did under the cloak of secrecy, and no one ever knew about it. By his own admission, that's not true. As I said, I believe in the last episode, and possibly even the episode before that, I don't believe Jimmy Savile was a pedophile. What I believe was that he was an individual who was addicted to sex, and that he was a predator who would prey on anyone who put themselves into the position where he could take advantage of them, whether they be 15 years old or 62 years old. If they were willing to come into an area where he was at and allow themselves to be vulnerable enough where he could take advantage of them, he would. And I hate to say it, but he wasn't alone in this kind of, you know, crime. Most of the people who were looked up to in the 1960s, 1970s, be they a rock star or a other form of celebrity, got into a lot of the same type of stuff. Savile just took advantage of this type of situation for much longer than most others in his position did. We will be back in just a moment.